Welcome to Orchard Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the Orchard community.
Hello, friends. Thank you for joining us. My name is Benjamin J. Thomas. This week, we continue a series that we began last week called From Me to We, exploring ways that we can really fully offer each other true belonging, this journey from me-ness to we-ness. We-ness, listen to me. I cracked myself up. Anyway, last week, Scott Hodge shared a teaching about interdependence, giving us some language and tools to help us move from independence that our culture seems to program us for to a kind of interdependence, redefining our relationships with each other and with the earth. If you missed that, I encourage you to go back and check it out in last week's episode. And this shift from independence to interdependence is really deep and going to take some time for a lot of us, especially those of us who grew up in Judeo-Christian traditions that taught us that the earth is here for us to consume and dominate, and that we're in competition with one another for its resources. But not all traditions have held so tightly to that way of thinking. Now, for instance, there's this quote attributed to Chief Seattle, who was a prominent leader in multiple tribes here in the Northwest, that the earth does not belong to man. Man belongs to the earth. And then there's this poem written by someone named Elu Denish, which I probably am butchering their name because I'm a middle-aged white American guy. But this poem really encapsulates and embodies the idea of the African philosophy of Ubuntu, which emphasizes the interconnectedness and interdependence of all of humanity. Let me read you an excerpt from that here. I am because we are, a truth profound. In Ubuntu's philosophy, our humanity is found. Our shared existence, interconnectedness so strong. In unity, we thrive. Together, we belong. To be truly human, we must recognize the humanity in others, the truth in their eyes. Now, friends, as we look eye to eye and get really honest, I think a lot of us have some unlearning to do, and we can glean a lot of wisdom from these words. Today, Anna Hammond is joining us as we continue our journey from me to we, helping us move from isolation to vulnerability. Anna?
Friends, I don't know if you've heard, but this week NSYNC made it back onto the Billboard charts. And as the elder millennial female that I am, this makes me feel a lot of nostalgia. And also, it makes me feel really old. And also, believe it or not, it brings up that hot, uncomfortable feeling of shame. Because one of the core memories that lives in my heart is the memory of being a 12-year-old girl and going to a friend's sleepover party, where an entire group of girls spent most of the night rewinding the VHS recording that we had grabbed off of MTV. Did I mention I feel really old? Getting down the choreography to Tearing Up My Heart. And at the time, as a little baby 12-year-old, I didn't know the choreography. I didn't know the song, and it's honestly still embarrassing to say. I didn't even know the band beyond having like heard of it here and there. Unlike what felt like every other single girl at this party, I didn't have an opinion on whether Justin was cuter than JC. And to be honest, I didn't really want to have an opinion about that. But there was no way in the world I was going to let those other girls know that. Because at 12, the most important thing in the whole wide world to me was fitting in with my peers. To be different would have meant that I was the weird one. So that hot, achy feeling of shame motivated me to pretend. To pretend that I knew the words. To pretend that I was really excited to jump around my friend's den all night long, learning choreography, and to pretend that I had strong opinions about which boy was the cutest at a time when I still honestly kind of thought guys were gross. That hot, achy feeling of shame pushed me to be a person that I was not. And I know I'm not alone in this. I bet you can remember a time when you were 11 or 12 or 15 or 16. We can probably all remember many times when shame motivated us to fit in. Maybe you didn't learn actual choreography, but in a way, you learned the choreography that we all learn of hiding what you liked, didn't like, what you felt, what you wanted, even what you needed. You probably learned how to hide who you actually are at the core of your soul. And if you're honest with yourself, have you truly outgrown that want? Or has it just gotten more complicated? Our culture in America was image conscious well before social media. And I think these days it's safe to say we are image obsessed. We are constantly performing for strangers, for our peers, for our friends and families, and even in many cases, we are performing for ourselves. We are living in the land of optimism and Hollywood endings of success and of certainty and of victory. And if you are not in line with those things, there's something wrong with you. You are the weird one. You are not dancing the choreography. So if your authentic self is struggling, which we all do, we're all human, and you feel those big, achy, vulnerable feelings, we learn, almost without being taught, that the best thing to do with grief and pain and fear and sorrow and even indecision is to ignore it or get over it. This is unfortunately especially true for those of us who are trying to be masculine. We take on this idea that any other option other than ignoring it or getting over it is shameful. Feeling grief or pain or sorrow is weak, and we do not tolerate weakness in our culture, do we? And we all so desperately want to fit in and not be a burden and be well-liked or at least be respected and admired. So of course, we're going to be afraid to let those embarrassing, shameful feelings out. Of course, we're going to try to learn the happy, boppy choreography of American life. The tragic flip side of this is that that happy choreography also causes us to mask our real joy, because experiencing true joy is also a vulnerable feeling. Now, I'm not talking about basic happiness here. I'm talking about deep joy. Because letting yourself being seen thoroughly loving something, we're not very good at that either. To be really into something because it is fun or interesting or weird, and with the way that God has created us, designed us, and our experiences and our lives and our interests and our wiring, we love it. But somehow letting that be seen is also weak. Which means that usually without naming it or even being fully conscious of it, we learn when we're young that we're expected to either ignore our own joy or get over it quickly. And again, this is unfortunately especially true for boys and men. When I was 12, the things that brought me joy were not learning NSYNC choreography. It was reading stories and writing poetry and playing in the woods. I was a weird kid. I was a 12-year-old who wrote poetry. To be honest, I'm a pretty weird adult too. But I learned fast to be ashamed of those things that brought me so much joy. And this is something, honestly, that I could teach myself. I am still learning. I am still teaching myself, because for so many years, instead of learning to enjoy and share my weirdness and my joy and my sorrow, instead, I learned this choreography. Because not fitting in, being rejected and isolated, is one of the most painful experiences that a human can imagine. We are wired to feel rejection as awfully as physical injury. So we can think about fitting in this way, like a chart with one continuum or axis for being loved and another for being known. If you're listening to the audio here, you'll have to just imagine this. But can you think of a chart where we've got four quadrants, right? We have the quadrant where you are known, but you are not loved. And we can label that rejection. And then we have the quadrant where you are not known and not loved, where you are ignored, isolated. And then on the other side, we have this idea that maybe you are loved, but you are not known. And that one is where we fall when we are fitting in. And where we really want to be is in this belonging quadrant, where we are loved and we are known. But we are so afraid of ending up in the not loved side of the chart, that isolated and rejected side, that we will often take whatever we can get on the loved side. And the voice of shame says to all of us, you're not good enough to be known. And so we want so desperately to be loved that we hide our true selves in order to scrape the bottom of the barrel. But author and social researcher Brené Brown makes this excellent point. She says, the thing is that we are wired to be part of something bigger than us so deeply that sometimes we will take fitting in as a substitute. But actually, fitting in is the greatest barrier to belonging, because fitting in says, be like them to be accepted. Belonging says, this is who I am. I hope we can make a connection. You see that point, that our quest to fit in is actually sabotaging our deeper desire, which is to truly belong. And I think this truly belonging is worth the risk and worth the effort, because I think this is part of what Jesus refers to when he spoke about abundant life. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And one of the things that Jesus did through his life was to not only know others well and love them because of, despite of, who they were, but also to model vulnerability and to show us in the most intimate and practical way who he was, who God was. So how can we do this? How can we move from fitting in to belonging? How can we build a place to belong so that we might have more abundant life and so our neighbors might have more abundant life too? I wish that this was easy and I could give you three clear-cut steps to belong. Maybe they could all begin with the same letter, and then by next week you could show up here in this space with us and be completely wholehearted and ready to enter a fully vulnerable and authentic space. But this journey toward belonging is not linear. It is slow, and we are all at different places on our journey through it. So that wouldn't be fair to you, or wouldn't be fair to me. Instead, I want to give you some paths that might be helpful on your journey towards growing from isolation to vulnerability. You might choose to follow one of these paths. You might take a step down all three, because in the spiritual metaphoric life, you can be in multiple places at once. So hear this first path. And if you hear nothing else today, I hope you hear this. Is to remember how unique and precious your little weird self is. I want you to hear out loud today that in the eyes of God, you are precious just the way you are, just because of who you are. Your flaws and your weaknesses don't take away from that. Your past experiences, the things you've done and the things that have been done to you, don't take away from that. All the stuff that makes you weird doesn't take away from that. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. And the psalmist goes on to describe all of the intimate ways that God knows us inside and out, our whole inner world and our whole lives. And then the psalmist concludes, How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I don't know about you, but I feel like if someone had access to all my thoughts and words and actions, they might not have uncountable precious thoughts about me. I have access to all that stuff, and unfortunately, I don't have uncountable precious thoughts about myself. But God does. That is how wide and high and long and deep God's love is, friends. Wherever you are on your journey, you can always come back and rest in this truth, because it is true. God knows you and loves you. You are always in the belonging quadrant with God. So you can and should get to know your precious self. And that's kind of the second step on this first path, not to make it overly complicated, but shame often makes us betray ourselves. And it's possible that you have been hiding or performing or working to fit in for so long that you have lost the sense of who you really are on the inside. You've been squeezing yourself into a model because shame and the world have taught you that that's who you need to be, and you forget what your actual shape is. So after you've spent some time resting in the truth that God knows and loves you just as you are, you might need to spend some time knowing and loving yourself just as you are. What are your core values, interests, beliefs? What do you truly enjoy and care about? What gets you excited? I recently saw someone on Instagram posting about the opposite of triggers, triggers being the things that activate our anger, our fear, our trauma, our anxiety. And the opposite of that would be the glimmers. What are the things that activate our joy, that activate our calm, that feels soothing and hopeful to us? Maybe get to know some of those things as a first step toward practicing vulnerability in your life. Now, the second path I'm going to suggest is to practice being vulnerable with others. Being vulnerable means allowing yourself to be seen, flaws and weirdness and all. You can start small with trusted individuals, and I would recommend that you do that. You start small with trusted individuals in emotionally healthy ways. We are going to continue talking about this over the next few weeks, and we're going to be touching on things like boundaries, trust, and listening and speaking from the heart. But to get you started, I'm going to suggest this. Rather than sharing your deepest, darkest secrets as a way to practice vulnerability, don't do that. Unless you're sure you can do that in a really safe way. Instead, practice sharing your joys. What do you think is really cool or good or interesting or beautiful? Gush a little bit about that. Get excited. Be vulnerable in your joy. And if people act like you're a little bit nuts, like you're a little weird, and it feels uncomfortable, stay with that feeling. Remember that you are growing. And remember that being excited about things here on God's green earth is good and lovely and excellent and praiseworthy. That feeling, that uncomfortable feeling, it will pass, and the truth will stay. Now, the third path is one that I'm really excited about, and that is to foster authentic two-way vulnerable relationships. And there's kind of two parts to this. When we model authenticity and acceptance, we can create a more inclusive and welcoming environment for everyone. When I am brave and share my whole self with you, weirdness, flaws, joys, and all, that makes you feel more permission to do the same with me. We can also do this by demonstrating acceptance of others, by becoming aware when our judgments and reactions might be getting in the way of an authentic connection, and then getting those out of the way. If someone shares a deep joy with you, enjoy their joy. Don't dismiss it as silly. If someone shares a hardship with you, stay with them in that place. Don't offer them platitudes when you could offer your presence. I love Paul's advice to the church in Rome, which the Message paraphrases so beautifully. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. I just love that. What a great image, isn't it, of what a true community might include? It's also really encouraging to me that the early church needed these words just as much as we need these words today. Because friends, I could probably give a whole teaching about how Christian communities far too easily become places where fitting in is way more important than truly belonging. About spaces that claim to have the good news, but where it is not safe to let yourself be truly known. About churches that advertise, come as you are, but keep it a secret that unless you change, and quickly, you'll wear out your welcome. At The Orchard, we want to create a community of true belonging, where it is truly safe to let yourself be seen and known, where the misfits and the outcasts and the weirdos are just as welcome at the table as everyone else. As people who follow the teachings of Jesus, friends, we have such a good example for this in Christ, who went out of his way to get to know, truly know, those who would have been ashamed to be at the table with the good people of that time. His example was both to be vulnerable, showing us the depth of his love for us, even on the cross, but also to allow others to be vulnerable with him. He really got to know people. And because he got to know them and spent time with him, their lives were changed. Think of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, who, because Jesus wanted to spend time with him, was changed. Or the disciples, because Jesus called them to be his friends, were changed. Here at The Orchard, we don't have this perfected. We are all growing and learning. But what I have to tell you is that what I am seeing at our Orchard table gatherings has given me so much hope and encouraged me that this is possible. We can have church communities that are rooted in belonging and not just fitting in. Because when people who ordinarily would not hang out together are able to have the space to share from the heart and then to be listened to from the hearts of others, we are all able to access true belonging and people's lives are genuinely changing. So friends, by learning to be vulnerable and to accept others when they are vulnerable, we are able to do a little more to build the kingdom of heaven here on earth, building a place where not only you can be known and loved and truly belong, but where your neighbors can be known and loved and truly belong, where we can all enjoy our weirdness together, where we can laugh together, where we can cry together. Friends, we want to be a community where we don't all have to learn the same choreography to be able to enjoy one another's dances. We want to be a community where the beautiful, messy chaos of belonging is the order of the day. Friends, whichever of these three paths is right for you, or again, maybe more than one, I am so glad that you are on this journey with us. As we move on from here, I have a few questions that I'd like to leave you with to inspire some further conversation, whether that's with a table gathering, a friend or two, maybe there's someone in your life that you can be vulnerable with by having a conversation about this stuff and build that mutual vulnerability. Or if you're not ready for that, or if you just want to do some personal reflection, that is a-okay. You can grab a journal and go through these questions. First one is, can you recall a time in your life when you felt the need to hide your true self in order to fit in? What was that experience like for you? And how did it make you feel? And the second question is kind of in line with that first path. What are some things that genuinely bring you joy? Have you ever felt hesitant to express them to others? Or have you ever expressed them to others? And finally, the third one, when have you felt like you truly belonged in a community or in a group? What made that experience different from merely fitting in? And fourth, what steps can you take to help create a community of true belonging in your own life, in your workplace, or in your faith community? And now, dear friends, I want to read this blessing over you, written by John O'Donohue. It's a blessing of belonging. May you listen to your longing to be free. May the frames of your belonging be generous enough for your dreams. May you arise each day with a voice of blessing whispering in your heart. May you find a harmony between your soul and your life. May the sanctuary of your soul never become haunted. May you know the eternal longing that lives at the heart of time. May there be kindness in your gaze when you look within. May you never place walls between the light and yourself. May you allow the wild beauty of the invisible world to gather you, mind you, and embrace you in belonging. Amen.
Hey, what's up, friends? I'm Scott Hodge, lead pastor of the Orchard Community. Before we close out our gathering today, I want to remind you, friends, that the Orchard is not just another spiritual community or church, but something much deeper, especially in times like these. You know, first and foremost, we are about radical, extravagant love, just like Jesus taught, just like Jesus showed us. And we're leaning into the issues in our neighborhoods, offering hospitality, pursuing peace. You see, this is not a passive faith. No, it is active. It is alive. And of course, to make it all happen, we need those of you who believe in and who have been impacted by God's work in and through the Orchard to help support that work. And of course, as you do, I hope that you'll see that less as donating and more as investing into this community and into our neighborhoods, into our world. So there are a couple ways you can support and give. You can, if you're watching this on Sunday, you can click on the link in the chat window right now. Of course, you can go to our website, theorchardcommunity.com/give. You can give through the Orchard app, or you can snail mail it to P.O. Box 7688 Aurora, Illinois 60507. And no matter where you are, and no matter who you are, I want to say a big thank you. And I hope and I want to encourage you to make your support, your giving, a consistent act of worship. And of course, I also want to say thank you for your generosity, which, listen, it's what enables us to do the work God has called us to be a part of. And now, friends, I want to leave you with a benediction. All right. Are you ready? Open your hearts. May you go forth into the world with your hearts open, embracing the powerful truth that we are called to be interdependent, not isolated. As Christ made himself vulnerable to bring us life, may you find the courage to be vulnerable, to connect and to love. And may the grace of God sustain you, the love of God surround you, and the Spirit of God empower you now and always. Amen. Friends, you're so loved, and we look forward to seeing you.